Good morning, everyone, on this momentous Good Friday morning. My name is Dr. Benson Ochirimenu, one of the leaders in the Grace Generation Church based in Pietermaritzburg, South Africa. May the grace of God be upon you wherever you may be, and we pray that all is well with you, both to our church members and our friends around the globe. For me, and I'm sure to many of you, this is the first time that on a Good Friday morning, we are connected remotely or virtually. Normally, we'll be in a church building or a church hall and have fellowship, physical contact with one another. And this is because of the corona pandemic that has taken the world by storm. Let me take this opportunity to thank God and thank Craig for ministering to us last week on faith during the time of storms. For those of you who may not know, in our church in the last month or so, we've been undertaking series of messages that we've called Rooted. And by this, we are looking at many biblical values that we are rooted in. And in this morning, I am looking at rooted in the Passover. We are rooted in the fact that now, or even in the future to come, those who believe in the salvation that God has provided in His only Son, Jesus Christ, are going to be passed over when God comes through to judge this world. So even now, no matter what we are going through, the grace and the peace of God is upon us. Because John, in chapter 16, verse 33, said, "These are the words of Jesus. I have said these things to you, that you may have peace. In this world, you will face tribulation, but take heart, I have overcome the world." And so, no matter what you are going through, whether we are in lockdown or whatever, whether you are even infected with a virus, God is with you. Let the peace of God be with you wherever you are, knowing that He is in control of His world that He created, and He knows what He is doing. And so, as we look into the Passover, I want us to look at two scriptures, one in the Old Testament in Exodus chapter 12, and the other in the New Testament in Luke chapter 22. In my introduction this morning, I will try to help us to understand what we mean by the Passover and what it meant at the time when it was instituted and what it means for us today. I would want to dwell on 3 points. And the first point is that the Passover requires a lamb. The Passover will be no Passover if there is no lamb. And we will look at what it was expected of the people of Israel when it was instituted and what it expected of us today. Secondly, I want to point out that atonement is in the blood of the lamb. And we need to look at what it meant for the Israelites at the time and what it means for us today. And my third point is that God requires faith for the Passover to be effected. God requires faith for the Passover. I need to point out also that as I undertake this Passover journey with you this morning, I'm taking cues from the work that Michael Eaton has done on this topic. So let's get into the scripture and look into Exodus chapter 12. I will start reading from verse 1. "And the Lord said to Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, 'This month shall be for you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year for you. Tell the congregation of Israel that on the 10th day of this month, every man shall take a lamb according to the father's houses, a lamp for the household. And if a household is too small for a lamp, then he and his nearest neighbor shall take according to the number of persons, according to what each can eat, shall make your count for the lamb. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male a year old. You may take it from the sheep or from the goats. And you shall keep it until the fourth day of the month. On the 14th day of the month, when the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill their lamb at twilight. Then they shall take some of the blood and put it on the doorposts and the lintels of their houses in which they eat it. They shall eat the flesh that night, roasted on fire, with unleavened bread and bitter herbs. They shall eat it. Do not eat it any of it raw or boiled in water, but roasted, its head, its legs, and inner parts. And you shall let none of it remain until the morning. Anything that remains until the morning, you shall burn. In this manner, you shall eat with your belt fastened, your sandals on your feet, and your staff is in your hand. And you shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. And I will pass through the land of Egypt that night, and I will strike all the firstborns in the land of Egypt, both men and beasts. And on all the gods of Egypt, I will execute judgments. I am the Lord. The blood shall be a sign for you on the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and no plague will befall you to destroy you when I strike the land of Egypt. This day shall be for you a memorial day, and you shall keep it as a feast to the Lord throughout the generations, as a statute forever. You shall keep it as a feast. Then Luke chapter 22 and verse 7, starting from verse 7. Then came the day of unleavened bread, on which the Passover lamb had to be sacrificed. Jesus sent Peter and John, saying, "Go and prepare the Passover for us, that we may eat it." They said to him, "Where would you have us prepare it?" And he said to them, "Behold, when you enter the city, a man carrying a jar of water will meet you. Follow him into the house that he enters, and tell the master of the house, 'The teacher says to you, where is the guest room where I may eat the Passover with my disciples?' And he will show you a large upper room furnished, prepared there." And they went and found it just as he had told them, and they prepared the Passover. And when the hour came, he reclined at table, and the apostles with him. And he said to them, "I've earnestly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I tell you, I will not eat it until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God." And he took the cup, and when he had given thanks, he said, "Take this, and divide it among yourself. For I tell you that from now on, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes." And he took the bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to them, saying, "This is my body, which is given to you. Do this in remembrance of me." And likewise, the cup after they had eaten, saying, "This cup is poured out for you, is the new covenant in my blood. This cup that is poured out for you is the new covenant in my blood." Today's Old Testament passage that we have read is the Passover that God initiated in Egypt, when the people of Israel were in bondage and needed freedom or salvation. When the king of Egypt, or Pharaoh, and his people were to receive judgment for the kind of punishment they had inflicted on the people of God, how they treated the people of God. I want us to know that this Passover was an image or a type that God established way back in Egypt to show the judgment and salvation that was to come upon the world. The Israelites were in bondage from the people of Egypt through hard labor and the labor that was unbearable for them. I want you to know that even us in this world today, we are in various forms of bondage through the things that we have entangled ourselves with, through the things that this world leadership, this world system is putting on us, this world's media and all that is going on is putting on us. We find ourselves in bondage. And I'm very convinced that some of us already in this lockdown that we may be in have begun seeing the kind of things that were holding us bondage. For example, if there was a family that because of people not coming home was falling apart, today I'm sure the couple are beginning to see the need for one another and the fellowship that they are having with one another. And so, we are in various situations that bring fear in our lives. Fear is also a form of bondage that grips us. Even in this lockdown, most of us are in fear of not knowing what is going to happen tomorrow. And I tell you that we need salvation from God. And God's salvation is not only for the future, but even for today. Judgment is coming upon Egypt. Judgment came, and for everyone that was living there, in that judgment, even the Israelites were going to go under judgment if God did not come in to provide a way out of salvation for them. And it's not because only the Israelites had sinned. The Bible tells us that we are all sinners, and we have sinned against God in every way. And so even at that time, when the judgment of God was coming upon the Egypt, if the Israelites had not received mercy and salvation from God, they too were going to undergo that judgment. But Michael Eaton says, and I quote, "Israel were sinners too. Pharaoh had refused to hear Moses, but there were times when the Israelites themselves refused to hear Moses. On one occasion, the Bible says, the Israelites did not listen to him." That is in Exodus 6 and verse 9. And there would be many times in the future when Israel will criticize Moses and refuse to heed him. Pharaoh refused to listen out of unbelief and of his rebelliousness. The Israelites often refuse to listen out of deep unbelief that had come through their great discouragement, unquote. And so even today, as Romans 3 and 23 puts it, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. We are all sinners and we need God's salvation for the punishment or judgment that is coming upon the world. And this, what God did in Egypt, was not the people of Israel's doing. They didn't do it themselves. God provided a way of freedom for them, a way of salvation for us. And so, it is not our doing. It is not the Israelites doing that their firstborns did not die. It was God's provision. God provides salvation for his people. And we need to understand that for us to receive the provision of God, even in our time today, we need Jesus, because Jesus is the Passover lamb that is needed so that we would not receive judgment from God, but we will receive salvation. I just want to point out that as a first point this morning, that the Passover needs a lamb. The Passover needs a lamb. There will be no Passover without a lamb. And in verse 3 of the passage we read, the Bible says, "Tell all the congregation of Israel that on the 10th month, every man shall take a lamb according to their father's houses, a lamb for a household. And if the household is too small for a lamb, then he and his nearest neighbor shall take according to the number of persons, according to what each can eat, and you shall make your count for the lamb." But verse 5 is the key point. "Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male, a year old, and take it from your sheep or from the goats." And so, one needed to take a lamb. So, I want to bring out three things about the lamb. There are three important things that we need to take note about the lamb. That number one, the lamb has to be chosen. You have to choose a lamb. You have to go and get the lamb. And to be on the safer side for the Israelites, God asked them to go and get the lamb 4 days before the Passover. 4 days to be on the safer side, that the lamb is there and is ready and is kept to be slaughtered on the day of Passover. I remember growing up in the village where our parents, during an occasion such as Christmas, will earmark an animal, maybe a chicken, for the occasion. And I remember there were times when in the morning you want to go and get the particular animal for the occasion and the animal is gone. We have to get a search party to look for it. And so we need to choose a particular, that God wanted a choice lamb for the Passover. At the same time, God said that that particular chosen lamb should be without blemish. They should take time and inspect the animal to make sure that it is without blemish. Our God is a holy God, and so he can only be pacified by something that is holy and not with blemish. And thirdly, the lamb must die. It must not be a scapegoat, a lamb that you just take it and you move with it. But it must be a lamb that dies, and dies with blood coming. It shouldn't be a lamb that is strangled, a lamb that is killed to produce even blood, because the blood is where the atonement is. And so the lamb becomes a substitute for the sinful Israelites. The God provided a substitute himself for the Israelites. Even in our time today, in our lives, God has chosen a lamb for us. Jesus is our chosen lamb. I remember in John chapter 1, when John the Baptist saw Jesus for the first time, he said, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." And so God, Jesus is the chosen lamb of God. And Jesus, when he at table in the passage we read in Luke 22 with the disciples, he said, "This is my body which is given to you. Do this in remembrance of me." And then after the meal, he took the cup and says, "This cup is poured out for you and is the new covenant in my blood." And so Jesus is the Lamb of God. He is the Lamb of God without blemish. Because the Bible tells us that Jesus was without sin. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21 says, "For our sake, God made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God." 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 18 says, "Know that you were ransomed from your futile ways inherited from your fathers, not with perishable things such as silver or gold, but with the precious blood of Christ, like that of a lamb without blemish or spot." And so, Jesus was without blemish. And he died. The lamb had to die. Jesus died. Hebrews 9:22 says, "Indeed, under the law, almost everything is purified by the blood. And without the shedding of the blood, there's no forgiveness of sins." So Jesus died for his blood to be shed. And blood oozed out of him. So that what Isaiah predicted years ago in Isaiah 53 will come through for us. He says, "Who will believe what we heard, what they heard from us? And whom shall the arm of the Lord be revealed?" He grew up before him like a young plant and like a root of the dry ground. He had no form or majesty that we should look at him, and no beauty that we should desire him. He was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrow and acquainted with grief, and as one from whom men hide their faces. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we esteemed him stricken and smitten by God and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. And upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace. And so he was the Lamb of God that died on our behalf. Secondly, I want to point out to us that there's atonement in the blood. And in verse 13 of our Old Testament passage in Exodus chapter 12, it says, "The blood shall be a sign for you on your houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and no plague will befall you to destroy you when I strike the land of Egypt." Even in verse 23 of the same chapter, which we didn't read, it says, "For the Lord will pass through to strike the Egyptians. And when he sees the blood on the lintel and on the two doorposts, the Lord will pass over the door and will not allow the destroyer to enter your houses to strike you." And so, once the chosen lamb without blemish is killed and the blood oozes from its veins, there is a potential payment for penalty of sin. And so on that day, when they killed, they slaughtered their lamb and put it on the doorpost. From that day, the blood, they were under the cover of the blood. And when the day of Passover came, the lamb, the blood was enough to cover them. And the destroyer would saw the blood and pass them by. I want you to know that even for us today, when Jesus is on the cross today, and he is the Lamb of God, and blood is coming out of him, we are also covered by the blood of Jesus. The blood of Jesus avails much for us and is able to keep us from the judgment of God that is coming. Even today, God is with us. Yes, in this world we are facing tribulation, but God is on our side. At every moment, the wrath of God is averted from us because we have believed in His Son, Jesus Christ. And it will also happen in the final judgment that the blood will cover us because He is on our side. And so, I just want us to know that we have to, by faith, apply this. And so my third point is that God requires faith. When God saw the impending wrath that was coming on Egypt, where all firstborns were going to die, He told the Israelites what to do. But it was up to the Israelites to believe and do what God has told them to do. It was not automatic that God had said, I will pass over you, and it happens. They had to go and choose a lamb. They had to go and make sure that the lamb is not any other lamb, but a lamb without blemish. They had to have the faith to slaughter that animal and let blood, not strangle that animal, but slaughter the animal so that the blood will come, and have the faith to put this blood on the doorpost and the lintel. I'm sure if someone killed the animal and only ate the animal and did not put the blood on the doorposts and the lintel, nothing would have happened. That person would have died with the Egyptians. And so it's not automatic. We need faith. We need faith even for us today. God sent His Son. He loved the world so much, according to John 3:16, that He gave His only begotten Son to die on our behalf. Do you have faith in this Jesus? We need to put our faith in the provision of God, the Son of God that is hanging on the cross today as we celebrate Good, Good Friday. Yet, let this Friday be a good Friday for you. And apply. You need Jesus. Jesus, when you have given your life to Jesus, then you are saved against all that God is going to do in the last day when He comes to judge this world. Once again, Michael Eaton says, and I quote, "You might want to ask, how can I know I will be saved from God's anger against sin? The blood of Jesus is the answer. When I see the blood, I will pass over you," God said in Exodus 12:13. "Let the blood of Jesus be enough for you." It is enough for God. Let it be enough for you. Believe it. Trust your whole life to the blood of Jesus Christ. Let nothing make you doubt. Do not hold back or try to prepare yourself in some way. Take shelter under the blood of Jesus, and you will be saved. Then you will be in a position to call out to God as His child. Then you will be in a position to call out to God for the gift of His Holy Spirit. The starting point of everything is to take shelter under the blood of Jesus, the Lamb of God," unquote. And so I want to say in my conclusion, Jesus Christ is the Lamb of God who has died to take away the sins of the world. Even as we remember this day, the death of Jesus on the cross, let it be a good Friday for you by accepting what Jesus did on the cross for you, and what God has done by providing a way to atone for your sins. And you can only do that by accepting Jesus Christ as your Savior. If you haven't done it, I just want you to pray with me as I close. Wherever you are, pray with me to invite Jesus into your life to be your Lord and Savior. Shall we pray? Dear Lord in heaven, I know I'm a sinner from birth, It is because of my sins that you sent Jesus, your only son, to die on the cross for me. Please forgive me my sins. Lord Jesus, thank you for dying for me. Today, I invite you into my heart to be my Lord and my Savior. Thank you for saving me. Amen. May the Lord bless you. Amen.